As promised, we are joined right now by somebody who played 15 years in the NFL, three-time Pro Bowler, 12th all-time in passing yardage and TDs, Heisman Trophy winner, consensus All-American, top pick in 03 out of USC. He is appearing courtesy of FedEx Air and Ground NFL Players of the Year Awards. He is Carson Palmer. Carson, good to see you. How are you?
Good to see you. Great.
Good, man. Listen, last time you and I spoke, we talked about the quality of life you have and what you've created for yourself and your family in Idaho. You don't want to leave that, but here you are in Miami. When did you get here, and how has your time been so far here?
I got in late last night, and I'm headed out. I think the way to do the Super Bowl, if you're in our spot, is you leave Sunday morning. There's nobody at the airport, and you try to time it up that you can get back to your couch by 4:30 p.m., which is when it starts tonight.
That's how you do it, if you can do it. Now, of course, when you get to the airport on Sunday morning, people are all like, dude, where are you going? Where are you going? You're going the wrong way. Are you just getting here? No, I'm trying to get home so I can get back on my couch and watch the game.
Exactly.
I see you working. All right, so when you're working with FedEx Air and Ground, I want to get into that in a moment, but last year's Air Player of the Year was Pat Mahomes. One quarterback watching another. When you watch him play, what do you see? What sticks out?
Well, I just think, you know, he's an outlier. He's an arm that we have not seen. And I was arguing earlier with Boomer Esiason about just overall arm talent. You think about the Favres. Randall Cunningham was a very unique arm talent. But Mahomes has velocity. He's got touch. He's got zip. He's got accuracy. He can throw it on balance. He can throw it off balance. He can throw it in the pocket, outside the pocket. And to have that kind of velocity behind a football, and you see these, I've seen so many young quarterbacks come in with these massive arms, but you just don't have the touch. And that little wide route when the running back's coming out of the backfield and running towards the sideline and just barely turning upfield, and you see the quarterback just throw it over the defensive end's head and it gets up and over his head into the running back. That kind of throw is something that people don't understand how difficult it is. And I've seen so many quarterbacks come in with absolute hoses and just rocket arms that can't throw the touch ball. Patrick can throw it all. And I don't know if we've seen, in my NFL time, I don't think I've seen an arm like that.
Carson Palmer joining us. Listen, Boomer Esiason's my guy. I don't argue with Boomer Esiason, but what's the argument there? Like, what were you guys arguing about? Well, that makes perfect sense.
We were talking about arms and what's the best arm you've ever seen. And Dan Marino came in the discussion, too. I mean, that ball came out so fast and that spiral spun so tight. But just with what Patrick does, there's so many other dimensions, too. He's got this no-look thing. He can throw it from a low angle. He can throw it up over the top. He has so many different elements to his game. And then you see him take off and have, you know, 60 yards rushing in the AFC Championship game. He's a complete package, and that arm is unique and special.
And Carson, I think I could make the same argument about you, and I would say this. If we go back a few years to the 2015 season, the Cardinals were the subject of the All or Nothing documentary series. In one episode, Pete Carroll said of you, quote, "He's something. He's a marvel of freaking throwing the football machine. He's perfect. He's like Nolan Ryan was in baseball. He's going to be able to throw a football forever." Bruce Arians responded by saying, quote, "If you're going to build one, you'd build him." Pete Carroll said, quote, "Exactly like that." So these perfect mechanics, you had seemingly perfect mechanics. Where did they come from?
Just work. I mean, you're not an expert at anything until you've done it 10,000 times. And the quarterback position is no different. I mean, you don't want to go out and think about throwing or think about dropping back. You want to go out and react. And the only way to get that reaction is to do it over and over and over again. It's something I started. I just grind. I would go down to the local junior college practice field. I'd go to the high school field around the corner, and I would work on footwork and drops and mechanics. And I didn't have, you know, the Lamar Jackson athletic ability, the Russell Wilson legs, the Aaron Rodgers legs. So I had to make my living in the pocket. I had to be big. I had to be physical. I had to take pounding and be able to get hit in the face and still deliver the ball accurately. And I think the best way to do that is to make sure you're fundamentally sound.
Carson Palmer joining us on the road. Now, if you're looking at the matchup on Sunday, if you're San Francisco, what are you hoping to do defensively to limit Patrick Mahomes?
Well, I think what they're going to do is really stick with what they've done throughout the season. They bring a four-man rush. All four of those guys are top five picks in the first round of the draft. They all create issues up front, but you can't let him get outside the pocket. They have got to contain him. And the good thing behind him is they're going to have doubles. They're going to have doubles on Travis Kelce. They're going to have doubles on Tyreek Hill. They're going to have the opportunity to not have a bunch of guys one-on-one because they're having to bring pressure. They can pressure Pat and keep him in the pocket with those four guys up front. And now you got issues outside because now Pat, while he's got Bosa bearing down on him, he's got to find his one-on-one, and it's not easy to do when you have that kind of pressure.
Carson Palmer is my guest. Then on the flip side, you got Jimmy G, and he's playing this season after suffering an ACL injury. You suffered the same injury twice. You came back very well. What do you make of how he's looked in his return? Because you know.
Yeah, I mean, I think he's taken a lot of unfair heat. You know, he only threw the ball a handful of times in the NFC Championship game, but he was the number one seed. He had a first-round bye. He's in the Super Bowl. I watched him do it against my Arizona Cardinals in Arizona. We had a lead, and I was watching it at home on TV, and just third down after third down after third down, completing balls with pressure, throwing the ball accurately, goes down, wins the game, and you know, he's still getting the criticism that he can't win a game on his own. We've seen him do it a handful of times. He didn't have to do it every week because his team is that good. But this is the stage for him to shut the world up and show the world that he can win the big game.
See, I was going to say exactly that. I mean, he's getting all this heat for not doing more. They didn't need him to do more. So why ask him to do more? But if they need him to do more and they need him to win this game and make a number of plays, do you have the confidence that he will?
I do. I don't have the confidence that they can get in a shootout. I think if this is going to be a 35-point-ish game by Kansas City, I don't think they have the firepower. I'm not saying Jimmy Garoppolo can't score that many points. They've got Emmanuel Sanders. They've got Kittles. They just don't have the weaponry on the outside. They are a running football team. They are built between those tackles on the offensive front and the defensive front. So I think if it gets into, you know, a 60, 70-point total game, I just think they're going to end up getting run out of the stadium. But if they can control the game and control the run game and not make Jimmy have to throw it 45 times and keep up with Patrick Mahomes throwing it 45 times, then they got a shot.
Carson Palmer breaking it all down for us. We've got a few more moments with him. You mentioned Arizona. What about Kyler Murray? What did you make his rookie season?
Man, I think he was the rookie of the year. I hope he wins the rookie of the year. You know, for a guy that didn't play a ton in college, you know, he doesn't have 4 years under his belt in Division I football. He played really a year at Oklahoma and then came in the league. He didn't have those rookie mistakes or those rookie games where you go, oh, well, he's just a rookie. He didn't turn the ball over. He was smart with the football. They didn't score 40 points a game and break any records offensively, but he didn't put his team in position to lose because of his play. He was always in those games. There was a lot of really close games that I think after he's got a couple years under his belt, he finds a way to go from 6, 7, 8 wins to 10, 11, 12, 13 wins. So I'm really excited about his future, and I think it's really bright in Arizona.
All right, Carson, you're working with FedEx Aaron Ground NFL Players of the Year Awards. Once again, voting is still open until Thursday at 3 p.m. Eastern. The last time you were on, I asked you who you'd be voting for. Let me ask you this. How do people get their last-minute votes in, and who do you expect is going to win?
Well, you can vote on the NFL Twitter page. You can vote at NFL.com/FedEx. I just think what Lamar Jackson did was spectacular this year. It's something we haven't seen. He's getting my vote for the Air Player of the Year award. Derrick Henry's year, I mean, Derrick Henry almost ran his team to the Super Bowl on his shoulders, on his back. But you can't forget about what Christian McCaffrey did in Carolina. I mean, two different head coaches, two different offense coordinators, three different quarterbacks. Two of them were rookies. He had 1,000 yards receiving, 1,000 yards rushing. But in saying that, I'm still voting for Derrick Henry.
You know, you mentioned Derrick Henry. Let me ask you this, because he was unstoppable. This guy, I mean, he looked like the second coming of Jim Brown, and Kansas City did a really nice job on him in the AFC Championship game. What about San Francisco? That's a different animal altogether. They can run it down your throat. They've got that three-headed monster. How do you think Kansas City will do against that 49er running attack?
Yeah, I mean, they're not built for it. I mean, today's day and game, everything's been transitioned to the air, to the passing game. You've seen, you know, back in my day, my early days, you had big John Lynch's and Brian Dawkins and big heavy-hitting safeties, 210, 225-pound guys. Well, the game has changed, and those guys that come down and hammer guys, you know, on the line of scrimmage and the punishing tacklers, those are flags now. And so the game has transitioned into a faster, smaller defensive back, a Tyrann Mathieu-sized guy that's 190 pounds. And then you bring in the old-school Derrick Henry, who's 250, and the game has changed around him, and people are bouncing off his thigh pads and bouncing off his stiff arms. So, you know, the game has changed, and the style of defensive play has just changed in the last 15 years. It's gone smaller and faster from the defensive backside. You know, I just see them, what they did against that running attack and how much success they had against Tennessee. you don't know what's coming in San Francisco. They're a running football team, but they will absolutely gash you in the play action game. So they need to be careful loading up the box like they did 2 weeks ago in the AFC Championship or in the NFC Championship game, because what they have coming at them now is a ton of play action, a ton of misdirection. They're going to run the ball downhill, but you also have to be careful of all the trick plays they're going to run.
And they see the moniker thrown around like, this guy's a genius, Kyle Shanahan's a genius, but I think Kyle Shanahan really is a genius. I think the guy's an unbelievable play caller. I'm glad you mentioned John Lynch. You go way back with John Lynch. I go way back with John Lynch. What do you make of the partnership between the two of them, and specifically the job that John Lynch has done coming out of the broadcast booth, transitioning and building that roster the way he has? It's amazing to me. What about you?
Yeah, I mean, just great chemistry. They seem to work together really, really well. They seem to be on the same path as far as their vision of how their team's built. And I think it's really smart. Being a quarterback, I know how hard it is to play when you don't have a great offensive line against a great defensive line. But what they've done is build that program and build that organization up from the offense and defensive line with their draft picks and free agency. And I don't care how good your receivers are. I don't care how great your quarterback is. If he's constantly on his butt and getting hit every time he throws because you've taken four defensive linemen in the top five picks for the last 5 or 6 years, you can't win against that. And if you can protect, it doesn't matter. If you got Deion Sanders and Patrick Peterson at corner, it doesn't matter. If your offensive line and you're built from the inside out in your offensive line, it doesn't matter who your quarterback is or who your receivers are, because even the best cornerbacks to ever play the game can't cover for 5, 6, 7, 8 seconds.
Chris, one last thought. You played your ball at USC, college ball, so of course you knew the Lakers intimately, and you know the area where Kobe Bryant lived. What was your thoughts and your reaction when you heard that terrible, terrible story and that terrible news?
You know, I remember in 2001, I was in my dorm, in my the house we were living in with all my roommates. The Lakers had just won Game 6 or Game 7. Right down the street at Staples Center, and we jumped in Troy Polamalu's. He had this like StarCraft van. I think he bought for like $1,000. It's just a dump van.
Amazing.
We jump in the van. We drive down Figueroa, and it was just a party up and down the streets all around Staples Center. And I just remember the joy. And there's, you know, people doing donuts in the middle of the street, and everybody's, you know, purple and gold and Kobe jerseys left and right. And I just remember the excitement that he brought. And I was right down the street. This was 2000, 2001,
sure.
2002, where they went back to back to back. And I saw it firsthand. We couldn't go to the game, obviously, but the Staples Center is maybe as a crow flies a mile from our house. And I just remember the excitement and the passion and the joy that he brought Laker fans, and getting to be a part of it, getting to be in the streets, partying and enjoying it with the Laker fan base, and being from SoCal. And obviously, I mean, it's a tragedy, and
it's
so difficult to watch.
I appreciate your thoughts. Carson Palmer, appearing courtesy of FedEx Aaron Ground NFL Players of the Year Awards. Carson, so good to run you down. Appreciate your thoughts on that and everything else. Great seeing you.
Thanks, Jim. Appreciate it, man.
Carson Palmer.